From the WGXC newsroom, this is the WGXC Daily News. I'm Philip Grant. Joshua Solomon reports in the Times Union that North Country Republican Representative Elise Stefanik on July 27th attempted to blame House Speaker Nancy Pelosi, a Democrat, for an attempted right-wing coup at the U.S. Capitol on January 6. Stefanik said, and I quote, "Nancy Pelosi bears responsibility as Speaker of the House for the tragedy that occurred on January 6th, end quote. Though the Republican who represents the 21st Congressional District in New York bears more responsibility. Stefanik did not ever clearly say that Democrat Joe Biden defeated Republican Donald Trump for president. Stefanik voted against the certification of the Electoral College vote before and after the riot. And the Associated Press fact-checked Stefanik's claim that Pelosi was responsible for the armed right-wing insurrection, reporting that Pelosi has no day-to-day oversight of the Capitol Police. After the attack, Pelosi said, a, and I quote, "failure of leadership at the top," end quote, "was at fault, and the top three security officials at the Capitol resigned over the security failure." Representative Hakeem Jeffries, a Democrat from New York and the chair of the House Democratic Caucus, calls Stefanik's smear, and I quote, "sick and cynical," end quote. Governor Andrew Cuomo's top advisor, Rich Azzapardi, calls Stefanik a, and I quote, "traitor," end quote, in a tweet July 27th. Read more about this story in the Times Union. Melanie Lekosiewicz is reporting for Columbia Green Media the emergency medical technician shortage is a growing problem in Greene County. Greene County Legislature Chairman Patrick Linger said Monday, July 26, and I quote, "there's not enough staffing and not enough money out there to put a crew on. So when there is a shortage, you have to get people from somewhere. Someone has to go," end quote. He added, and I quote, "it's a big problem right now in the county," end quote. Greenville Town Supervisor Paul Mako said one of the issues is that the pay rate for EMTs is not competitive with other employers. Mako said, and I quote, "they can go to a steward's shop or Cumberland Farms for that much and more," end quote. Nadine Maridzek, EMS chief at the Town of Coxsackie Ambulance, said her agency has several part-time openings. She said, and I quote, "we don't have a lot of applicants. Every agency probably within New York State is short. I don't know if it's because of the lack of courses, because of COVID, or people moving on to other careers like working with paid fire departments or working as paramedics or moving on to medical or PA, physician assistants, school," end quote. President Mark Evans said, and I quote, "the number of applicants for new positions with the Greene County paramedics is declining." He said, and I quote, "we have not experienced a severe shortage at this point, but the pool of paramedics out there available to be hired is certainly very small," end quote. Town of Supervisor Richard Hahn said the town of Coxsackie was able to fill two full-time openings this year through the civil service list. He said, and I quote, "our employees have civil service protection, and we have a very generous health insurance plan, which I think is a motivating factor for a lot of people looking for work," end quote. Evans said a concerted recruitment effort is needed to bring new people into the profession. One way to do that is to utilize volunteers to give them an opportunity to explore the field and decide if it is right for them, he said. In 2019, EMT and paramedics responded to 8,432 calls in Greene County. And you can read the full story at HudsonValley360.com. Porcupine Soup is reporting that a resident of Ashland is among three men charged with a hate crime in Fleischmann's in Delaware County. On the morning of July 24th, a Jewish man reported to state police that he was walking along Main Street in Fleischmann's Village when a man got out of a pickup and stole his strimel. A strimel is a fur hat worn by some Ashkenazi Jewish men, mainly members of Hasidic Judaism, on Shabbat and Jewish holidays and other festive occasions. According to troopers, the suspect returned to the pickup truck, which was occupied by two other suspects, who all shouted anti-Semitic slurs and then drove off. Investigators were able to develop information that led them to identify the suspects. They were identified as Corey O. Bush, 25, of Ashland, Johan Diamond, 21, and Wesley R. Ignor, Jr., 24, both of Delaware County. All three men have been charged by state police with third-degree grand larceny as a hate crime, a Class C felony. All three were arraigned and remanded to the Delaware County Jail on $5,000 cash bail or $20,000 bond. And you can read the full story at porcupinesoup.com. Brendan J. Lyons is reporting for the Times Union that a federal judge on July 27th gave preliminary approval to a proposed $65 million settlement in a class action lawsuit involving three companies blamed for polluting the public and private water supplies in and around the village of Hoosick Falls. The settlement would assure cash payments and long-term medical monitoring for thousands of property owners and residents, including those who were found to have elevated levels of a toxic substance in their bloodstream. In a 17-page ruling, U.S. Senior Judge Lawrence E. Kahn said he is likely to grant final approval to the settlement because it is, and I quote, fair, reasonable, and adequate, end quote. A hearing on the final settlement will be held on February 2nd in Albany. The preliminary settlement was reached in a proposed class action lawsuit filed in 2016 in federal court. The complaint accused Saint-Gobain Performance Plastics and Honeywell International and later 3M and DuPont Company of responsibility for the continued pollution of the community's water supplies, which were contaminated with perfluorinated chemicals that were used at factories in the village. The settlement is intended to compensate former and current residents for the potential health consequences of their exposure to the chemicals, as well as the potential loss of property value, and to provide a system of early detection for any related health issues they may suffer in the years ahead. The payment under the proposed settlement could be divided among roughly 1,800 qualifying property owners. And you can read the full story in the Times Union. And that wraps up the WGXC Daily News. For local weather reports, public meetings, community information, or COVID-19 updates, visit our website at WGXC.org. From the WGXC Newsroom, I'm Philip Grant. Have a good day and a pleasant tomorrow.